Jesus, we are in awe of your beauty this morning. Thank you, Father, for the Lamb. It's in that name we come boldly today to the throne of grace. And Lord, we know that all the help, all the mercy, all the grace. And yes, we all have a time of need, and it's now. And the need we have is more of you. Lord, more of you. God, help us to awaken to the life that lives within us. Help us to rise up, God, feasting upon the word, Lord, ready for the trumpet. God, thank you again for the call. Thank you for the choosing. Lord, thank you for you. Thank you, Father, for giving us that precious Savior, the I Am. Oh, Lord, thank you, God, that you've called us to a place. Where else could we go? Thank you, it's only to your breast. Thank you, Lord, it's only your wing. Thank you, God, that your Son is the rock that is higher than I. Thank you, Lord, that we stand in the victory in Jesus. And Lord, in that, I'm grateful to God that I can stand by faith, knowing that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Now, Lord, thank you for that, in that boldness that your life has given to us because you're the life that liveth in us. Let us go on, God, conquering every foe, the whole armor of God. Praise you for the sword of the Spirit. Lord, thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You are before us and behind us, and your hand is upon us. And this day, praise God, enter us into the feast that you have set before us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going to 1 Samuel today, chapter 30. And all the joy and love and praise God, the patience of the Lord and Brother David. But we're going to pick it up in the 8th verse of this 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And what's happened here is the Amalekites, one of the enemies of the Israelites, has won a great victory over Israel. And it's such a great victory that the people, they're quick to murmur, aren't they? We live in a time like that too, don't we? And so, you know, they were singing his praises a moment ago, and now they're whispering, let's stone him. Let's go get David and stone him. We know it's his fault that we just lost this great battle. And precious David, I'm so thankful in this great chapter here, he encourages himself in the Lord. See, oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we're going to be at that point where nothing else is going to encourage us. It's just going to be the Lord. And thankful to God that even though sometimes we don't want to set up at the or show up at the table set for two, we were looking at the table set for 20 of my friends or 40 of my family. And there's the Lord. He's got it. It's just a table set for two. And son, we're going to encourage in the Lord. Praise God. And David did. And it's so wonderful as we start reading from the 8th verse. He says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, these Amalekites? Shall I overtake them? Isn't that wonderful? He wasn't just mad and in his anger he was going to go out there and do this thing. He asked the Lord. He said, Lord, you lead me here. I want your hand in all of this. We've seen something hurtful happen here, and we need the Lord. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Isn't that wonderful how God gives you that? It's not that you will overtake, you shall surely do this. And you won't just kind of take them or have a good fight in this. You're going to recover everything. Everything. Isn't that wonderful? So David went. He and 600 men that were with him. So note this verse here. 600 men that were with him and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. So again, there's these ones that are going to be left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind. So 400 went on with David, 200 stayed back, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water Isn't that wonderful when you find somebody? Give him that water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men. So he's back now to those 200 men which stayed behind, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David. See, these were the 400, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand? For who will hearken unto you in this manner? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, that they part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Now that's something, and it's pretty clear here. The ones that went off to battle, brothers and sisters, they thought that they were pretty special. A little more special than the others. You know, I'm a fighter. We're the ones that went down into the trenches. The only reason that you have what you have is because of us. Now I know no one's ever felt that way in here. I just want to get that straight. I know. But just imagine those that have. How's that? And God, in his grace and mercy, said, No way. This isn't going to happen. We are going to get it straight right now. That God may have placed you in the battle, but don't you get to thinking that somehow, some way, that your place in your mind on the front line is greater than those with the stuff. I was thinking about this, and even throughout the world's history, some of the greatest battles ever won, and I mean the greatest turning points of the war, World War II, when Germany was going into Russia, and they were going to destroy Russia. It wasn't the fighting troops that were defeated. It was the supply lines. I'm talking about the ones that were with the food and the supplies and things that were seized or captured or destroyed, oftentimes by God in his hand and weather. And it cut off the supply to the ones in the front lines. And the battle was won. And brothers and sisters, God help us with this, because this is just as what it's talking about here. Those that stay with the stuff. We're talking about ones that truly continue in prayer. Talking about ones that lift up the entire body. I'm talking about those that God, in his grace and mercy, uses to supply richly the joints of the body. Aren't you grateful for that? I am so thankful that when I am really still, I'm talking about really, really still. I don't like to use this word very often, but I don't know of what else I can tell you. But I can sense and I can feel the prayers of the saints. Unquestionably. It's like a flowing coming into my body. I know that there are times during the week when the enemy is really allowed to attack and to come in a very fierce way. I know that here comes the flow of the reinforcement. And I know it's the prayer. And I know it comes from the head. I understand that, because it all comes from the head. But brothers and sisters, the supplying, those that stay with the stuff, that pray, and yes, let me tell you something, they're weary. They're tired. But they continue on in prayer. They say, Lord, supply this great grace that we need. They're the ones that God often uses to make it go on. I think of how Brother Hill used to say it so clearly. The most vital ones to a ministry are the ones in the pews. He would even say it like this. It's much more difficult to take a place in a pew than it is often to teach or even to preach. Why do you think a lot of churches try to get people busy when they come in? Give you a title. Give you something. Well, we're going to put you at head of this group, and we're going to get you busy over here. Because, see, it's a distraction for your flesh. It's something to try to make you feel good about yourself. The Word of God wants you to know that the only thing that you can ever really rejoice in, if it's going to sustain, is Christ in you. And that Christ in you is fed one way, and that's by the word of His grace. And as you feast upon the Word, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you, I'm so thankful. I heard many times from our pastor as ones would come in here and get a little excited and a zeal, but now it's going to be according to the knowledge of the Lord. It's going to be according to the knowledge of His truth and grace. You're going to need to sit down, and you're going to need to be quiet and let the Lord just open your heart and receive it. After that, brothers and sisters, I know that the Lord will use you. I don't know how it's going to be, but I can just imagine it'll be the way you never thought. Because that's how God does it. See, He usually takes the things that you never even imagined, as He said, beyond what we ask or think. See, that's the one that does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So oftentimes, all those things I've been thinking of, I know exactly where to put them, right in the trash. Praise be to God. All the fears, all of those glorious aspirations, I just put them right there. Because I want to stand back and see the mighty hand of God. I want to see, Lord, You do that precious work. I want You, Lord, praise God, to show me really what faith is going to be. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, as you well know, sometimes it almost makes you cringe. You come in there, your eyes are kind of shut. As I've said it before, it's like the big drop in a roller coaster. Here we go. Feels like it's never going to end when you're in it. But we know the way of escape has already been made. Hallelujah for this, brothers and sisters. But notice here in this precious chapter, see, God did it all. In verse 23, David reminds them. He said, you know, the Lord gave us the battle. Matter of fact, the Lord led us into the battle. Matter of fact, the Lord prepared the battle. The Lord gave us all the spoil. The Lord was the one that preserved us in the battle. And the Lord even delivered the enemy into our hands. Now, after reading that, I ask you, what did they really do? It sounds to me like the Lord did it all. Amen? Yes, He did. The Lord did it all. Praise God. I'm so thankful that, again, in that sweetness, Lord, I am that precious lump of clay that You are molding and making after Your will. And thank You, God, that I know that that clay can do nothing of itself. And it's all His mercy, and it's all His grace, and it's all His encouraging. It's the water that He brings and the oil that He shapes and allows us, praise God, to be made into His perfect, complete, and all of His will. But see, brothers and sisters, as we look at this, the Lord may use us sometimes that looks mighty to the eye. The Lord may use us sometimes that might look mighty to everybody else. But God help us to always remember this, brothers and sisters. He did it all. See, whether you showed up to stay with the stuff or whether you showed up to go off marching into the battle, remember this, the most beautiful part of the whole thing, all you did, again, by the grace of God, was show up. Praise the Lord. See, He's placed you in the body perfectly. It's not like He's trying to figure out where He's going to play. Well, I got to look at Him and try to figure this out. Where are we going to put Him? See, He knew. He foreknew you. He knew you in ages past. He knew exactly in Christ, where that place for you would be in the body. Father knows all. And praise God that that's what we need to rest in. It's not to be complacent, not at all, but it's to be joyous and to be thankful, to know that, Lord, this is exactly the place. Everything about my life, everything that's going on has got me to this place this morning, to where I'm thinking about You, where I'm worshiping You, where I'm calling out for a need that I have of You. Most importantly, that, Lord, I know by faith that all of these things are working together. All of it is working together. Listen to that. All of it is working together for my good, because Your grace has caused me to love You. That's the most beautiful story ever told. That's the story of I, the Lord thy God, I will perfect that which concerns you. I know you're down setting. I know you're uprising. I know you're thought afar off. I know the hair even on your head. Don't you think I know what before ordained good works that you should walk therein? And who am I to judge what a good work is? Who am I to even fathom or to think what that good work may be? What were the things that brought David most nigh to God? Oftentimes were the greatest failures in his life. As we've rejoiced in this meeting many times before, it did not have to be, but it had to be that way. That was the way He brought me to Him. These are the ways, brothers and sisters, that God chooses. And His ways are past finding out. But the one thing I do know and am encouraged in the Lord, as Israel knew the acts of God, they could stand there and see what was going on. Moses knew his ways. And the ways of God that Moses knew is God is love. God is love. And God only is love. And everything that God does, and especially for His children, is because He loves you. He gave you that Son. He's given you the power of His might. And thank You, Jesus, that it's all working together for my good. So we take this place in the body, and this is what this is getting at again. So many things ministering to us in this chapter. Take that place joyfully, thankfully. A gatekeeper? Huh? Oh no, I've got to be seen. God help us. In that body, Lord, if You just had me to be the little pinky toenail, how wonderful. I don't know about you, but you ever hit that pinky toenail before? Sometimes it lets you know it's there. Didn't come around for years, didn't say a peep, but oh, I'm here. You know what I'm saying. They're vital. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Because it's His body. It's His body. Brothers and sisters, if we will take that place, and then we will glorify Him for that place and for each and every member of the body's place. Oh, what joy it's going to be. But stay with the stuff. Stay with it. Praise Him for His grace. And the stuff here, it means treasure. And the treasure for us today especially, brothers and sisters, is sound doctrine. Rightfully divided word. Stay with it. See, we're in a time right now where man has itching ears for everything else. There's one coming to Denver, and I'm thankful to God that I know that this man is saved. He's a brother in the Lord. But I do believe that The encouragement in his life is to gather crowds and masses. The very first thing that was said about his life, he gives what the people want to hear. God help me to never do that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I rejoice, however, Christ is preached. But I'll tell you what, we're in a church age today. Most people I meet, they have the same expression. I'm living in the kingdom. I'm living in the kingdom. Hey, you're going to live in the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, it's time for a readied wife. It's time to grow up. It's time to be ready. It's time to, yes, come to a full knowledge of the truth. Yes, to know the love of Christ, to be filled with it. That's the time that we live in. But brothers and sisters, this treasure, this sound doctrine that we have today, this stuff, God's called us to abide in it. These sound words, he said to rejoice in them. As Paul's been encouraged Timothy and 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy as we've been reading these things, those are the words that Paul spoke even to the Galatians where he said, preach no other doctrine. God said, I will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. We do need to be reminded of these things. We do, praise God, need to stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And praise be to God, this is staying with the stuff. And that's the treasure. And brothers and sisters, we're in it. We are in the home stretch. And I think of these races that I've seen before. One had it won. There was a runner in that race. They had it won. And right at the end, they looked around. They looked to the side. They looked somewhere. And that one passed them by and won. God help us to be affixed on one thing. And that's the finish line. And that's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're looking other places, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you, you're going to stumble on the way. Straight feet. Eyes affixed, praise God, on the glory of God. Eyes affixed, praise the Lord, on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The I am. On that face, praise God, that not only will I behold, but I will hold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I tell you, it is so wonderful the things that he's bringing into his people and what he's growing up there. See, we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that the most beautiful place that we can take with God is shut up with his son. Do you know that? Just to be shut up with his son. The place of assembling ourselves together, the much the more, as we see that day approaching. The place of assembling ourselves with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I've said it many times before, I love kids, I love children. But I'm so thankful that my little ones are growing up too. I'm so thankful the fellowship I have with them now. As incredible as it was when they were little and we would hold them and all of these things, to now have sons that are starting to really show tenderness to the things of God. See, children are beautiful, but when the mighty men of God grow up, the saints, to the praise of the glory of his grace, there's nothing greater. Awesome, because that's the will of God for our lives. And this is what he's brought us in this precious stuff. I was thinking about King David. Do you know that finally in his life when he was prohibited from going to battle, he loved to fight. He was a bloody man. I'll tell you what, you didn't want to come up against him. He would hew you to pieces. Ask Goliath, that little runt. And then he took his head. You uncircumcised Philistine. But that was David. And how mighty all of those things that God brought in his life. But it wasn't till the time in his life that he could not go to battle anymore. He was physically able to, but he almost got killed by a giant. And his men came in and said, David, you're not going out anymore. It was really the Lord. David, you're going to stay with the stuff now. And you know what happened right after that happened? The glorious 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, probably the greatest song ever written, David's song of deliverance. He's my fortress, he's my rock, he's my shield. He makes my arms like steel bands. That beauty never came out until he was taken off of what they thought was the front line, and he had to stay with the stuff. That's the treasure, brothers and sisters. We're not the shiny things to this world. We're not the sizzling, dazzling things to man. But that makes you that much more precious to God. You're shut up to him if you want to be. And it's not to close yourself off from this world. My goodness, I interact with this old world all the time. As it's always encouraged my heart, you think about Joseph and what a man of God that brother was. And yet God picked the very perfect place for him to grow up into everything God had for him in the very heart of Egypt, all by himself, all around all of those wicked ones, all around all of that idolatry and all that mystic stuff and everything that would be against God. Watch me now grow him up. Come on. This is what God does. God doesn't need a hothouse. Matter of fact, God doesn't use a hothouse. He just doesn't. He's going to use the no way. That's the way God does it. So I tell him, I said, God, you're just such a beautiful show-off. But it's his mercy and grace. I mean it in the most treasured way. I hope you understand that. I'm proud of the gospel of Christ. I'm so thankful for it. And it does. It's beyond. It's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's incredible. And brothers and sisters, God help us to go into this and seize it all. But see, when David stayed with the stuff, that's when it all came forth. I think about Mary sitting there at Jesus' feet. She stayed with the treasure. And there were the warriors like Martha, and they were starting to criticize her, weren't they? Well, Mary, you're being lazy. You need to help. And Jesus said, you leave her alone. She's taking the better part. She's staying with the stuff. What about that sinful woman in Luke that was washing Jesus' feet with her tears? And there were those evil ones that came in there and said, well, if you knew who she was, if you knew what she did, you wouldn't let her be touching you. Tried to defeat her, didn't they? Bringing up her past. You see, the enemy does these things. It's the same old dog of vomit tricks. That's all the enemy has. But those are the wounds. That's a wounded side. And brothers and sisters, sometimes even the diamonds cut diamonds. And people get to worrying about what somebody else said. A lot of times in a meeting and a lot of times in this meeting, there's a lot of folks that aren't here because they were so concerned about what somebody else said. About bringing up past. And God help us. It shouldn't be done. But does the Lord order your steps? It's not time to hit the ejector button. It's the time as this sweet woman that was the sinful one, she wasn't moved. She maybe cried a little bit harder and washed his feet a little bit more with her tears, but I'm not being moved. They can say anything they want. They can be as evil as they want. But I know God has called me to be with the stuff. And I'm going to stay with the Word. I'm going to stay with the treasure. I am going to stay with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not going to move me out of here. God help us. We are really at the... This is it. This is the crux. I'm telling you. By God's grace, he said, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Look up, my coming draweth nigh. I'm almost here to come for you. And God is going to try it. The Father is faithful to getting the pearl of great price for his son. She is going to be the daughter that excelleth them all. All of them. There are many daughters that have done virtuously. Many, they're wonderful people. They're wonderful saints. Wonderful, wonderful. But she excels them all. She is the magnificent work of grace. She is so radiant. She has been tried in every way. Oh, the darts have flown at her, the tongues that have come at her, all of the things that have attacked her life. But yet it's all been covered at my feet. She was not moved. And the Father says, that's the one that I am seeking, that worships him, my son, the Lamb, in spirit and in truth. I can't tell you how heavy I've been for some time. Now this is his, let me tell you something. And it's all on him. Thank God it is. But we enter into these sufferings with him. And brothers and sisters, God help us not to run away from it. God help us not to lash out at it. God help us to only draw more nigh to the stuff. I will close with this thought. Refusing God's perfect, complete, and all his will for our lives. And notice what I just said. His perfect, complete, and all his will will only lead to the belly of a fish, just like Jonah. Seeking something more comfortable or appealing with our eyes will always result in a loss, like Lot. He was just and always will be just because of the blood of the Lamb. But he lost it. Oh, what could have been. Because he chose with his eyes. The voice of the Lord for us, brothers and sisters, I'll give it to you. Endure. Withstand. Fight. Be not moved. Remain. Dwell. Stand fast in rightfully divided truth. In Revelation 3, you'll read of the Philadelphia company. The company that praise God, that will be with him at the moment the tribulation begins. And it says of them that they kept the word of his patience. And at the end it says, and I will make thee pillars in my temple. And I don't know if you've ever gazed at a pillar very much, but I saw a lot of them. Most beautiful pillars you'll ever see in Italy. And you know what? I gazed at those pillars sometimes for 15, 20, 30 minutes. And you know what? They never moved. They never moved. Matter of fact, I don't think they really looked like they were doing a thing. But all the time, God was using them. Vessels adding to the usefulness of a husband. Honeys, do you know really the value of your life to just stay with the stuff? Stay with the stuff. And you'll inherit it all. And you will go no more out. The treasure, the Lamb, his very wife, with him in the midst of the throne. Let's stand, praise God. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for your tender mercies to your people. Lord, you're speaking to us in such sincerity. Lord, thank you again for drawing us nigh this morning. Thank you for every life here. Lord, you deal with us as sons, and God, help us to be tendered this morning, Lord, and not be stiff-necked and, again, just another sermon that's come and go. God, the word of your grace changes things. It moves mountains. It parts seas. But God, the greatest thing it does is it works in a life. And it says, Lord, I will go. Lord, help these lives today. Help me, God. to truly, oh, to lay it all on the altar, Lord, and to just truly move with you to say, Lord, I will go. God, thank you for this grace, this treasure, this great, great treasure that you have given us. And Lord, not unto us only, but to all them also that love your appearing. Lord, it is the exalted rank of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing. Lord, let us hold it fast that no man take thy crown. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.